Hey, it is 4:30 on Downtown Monday afternoon. Rich Kimble here. Kerry Haskell on vacation returns from his brief New Orleans sojourn tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, we're going to talk a little baseball, a terrific new book out entitled Baseball and America. And to learn more about it, we're pleased to be joined by the author, Jim Halloran. Jim, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Rich.
I absolutely love the book, and I appreciate it because I'm a teacher, you're an educator as well, and this is, in many ways, it's a history, not just of baseball, but America, and that's one of the things I love about it is that you get to sort of follow how baseball develops while being made aware of what was happening in the country at the same time.
Yeah, I think if we can do it coincide with history, it gives you more of a... dating, you can go back quicker and remember the time and the era better if you associate with other things besides baseball.
Now, I'm a big fan of the early days of baseball, and you've got some wonderful information there. You know, people like Al Spalding, who to me is one of the most interesting characters ever in the game of baseball.
Well, yeah, I particularly like Al because as an educator, I taught entrepreneurship. And Al Spalding was a real entrepreneur. He went from playing baseball to organizing baseball. And his brother set up the largest chain of sporting goods stores in the country.
Absolutely. And you've also got some tremendous old photos. How'd you go about not only gathering those up, but getting clearance to use these wonderful pictures?
Well, it's we researched, of course. We found them. There's a lot of nice people that will give you permission, particularly if they're old photos. Most of the copyrights run out after 75 years, and we've got baseball going back 150, so sometimes they weren't as hard to get, difficult to get as you might think.
I also love the fact that you've got some great quizzes in here, and it's a great chance to test your knowledge of the game of baseball.
Well, my intent when I really got on this project was I wanted to use it as a way of getting, I now have grandkids. And I want my grandkids to get involved with baseball just like my sons and I have gotten baseball, just like many generations of families have gotten in touch with baseball. And I worry about this younger generation with all the competition we have out there in entertainment and technology, that they might be losing a lot of the traditions of past in baseball. So that was my intent on writing the book. And I thought by putting in the trivia quizzes and some of the other activities, we'd be able to hold their attention and see if we're getting the idea through to them.
Well, and you certainly accomplished that. And we were talking about it earlier. I think it's the perfect book. If you've got a young baseball fan in the house, it's the perfect book to introduce them to the game and its history. And you talked about that family connection that goes back, a wonderful story in there involving your dad and the Syracuse Chiefs.
Yeah, that wasn't my dad, but it was a friend of mine. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But, there's all kind of, you know, we all have these stories. I found that the younger fans have an interest in learning it. But, boy, I'll tell you, the older fans love the nostalgia of it. And I've been doing a lot of presentations and giving some classes on it and so forth. And they really cannot get enough of old-time baseball.
No, and for fans around here, there's a section they'll especially love, and it's the story of a team that's still near and dear to the hearts of folks in New England, those 67 Red Sox in that impossible dream season.
Yeah, that was an absolutely phenomenal display of good baseball the last month of that season. And tight when you think that there were three teams tied for first on September 1st and one team just two games back. What a stretch run that was that went down the very last game of the season. And it really was largely the heroics of Kari Yastrzemski. He is the Triple Crown winner that year, and his September statistics were absolutely phenomenal. And he really led that team to that pennant that year. My only disappointment in regards to that is I happened to be having basic training in the Army during that month, and so they wouldn't let us listen to the games.
Yeah.
And I had a buddy in that same unit that I was in who was a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, and he had to leave the Red Sox to go into the Army, and he missed the whole playoff and series.
Wow, who was that?
His name was Bill Landis. He was.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
He didn't get to listen to games either. So it's a very difficult time, you know. That's basic training. They didn't do you any favors down there.
Well, we're talking with Jim Halloran. His wonderful book is called Baseball and America. Is there a time as a historian, is there a favorite era in baseball history that you're most interested in?
Well, of course, it really goes back to your formative years, I think. Those years when you're catching on the idea of baseball, maybe start when you're 8 and 10 years old, when you were trading baseball cards and flipping cards and all that kind of stuff. I think that gets cemented into your mind. So for me, it would be that late 50s into the 60s era. I got to know that so well. And those are the days that you'd go to sleep with a transistor radio by your pillow listening late at night to your favorite team.
Well, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. We were talking about that here the other day. And also the days when you'd grab that transistor radio late at night and be able to pick up games from a big section of the country.
Yeah, particularly St. Louis is famous for that. They had the biggest fan base of any team in America, I think. They were really America's team at that point.
Well, especially in those days when they were the Western outpost of Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. The other story I love about St. Louis, when he gave a little plug in the book, was the Gas House Gang of the 1934 St. Louis Cardinals with Dizzy Dean and his brother Paul. And I love the description that the players gave the Gas House Gang. They said, well, why did they call them the Gas House Gang? He said, well, they had a reputation for always being clowns, always wearing dirty uniforms, and by the way, they smelled bad.
One of my favorite eras is, and I love reading about it, is the very turn of the century, of the first 10 years or so of Major League Baseball, and some of the greatest players ever were stars at that time. Ty Cobb made his debut in 05. And boy, when you look at the numbers of some of the pitchers of that era, and I understand the game has changed, but you look at the numbers of a Christy Mathewson or a Walter Johnson, and of course Cy Young, it's just incredible what they were able to do.
Yeah, how they could go out there night after night. I believe it was Mathewson, I forget. In one of the series, through three out of the four games that they won, he pitched consecutively two nights, took a night off, and came back and won the fourth. And pitched the whole game. It wasn't five innings. It was nine innings. Sometimes they'd pitch 200 pitches in a game.
You also get some of the voices of the players and PA announcers, all kinds of different people who were involved in baseball, and it's wonderful to hear their stories about the game and how it's changed through the years.
I'm not a historian fanatic. I'm just a guy that likes baseball, and I'm just a guy that appreciates what it's done for my relationship with my father and the relationship I have with my son.
Where does it go from here? Because I'm sure, like me, you're concerned that maybe young people aren't embracing the game like they did in the past, and there are all kinds of reasons for that. But what do we do as baseball fans to make sure that this next generation doesn't forget about the game?
Well, I think we need to be able to sit down and talk baseball with them. You know, the days of sitting down with your parents and reading the morning box scores are behind us. That doesn't happen anymore, so we're just going to, well, you're going to have to expose them to the game. You have to take them to, you know, particularly if you live in, like, minor league cities. I learned a lot. I lived in a minor league city. We used to go out to those minor league games. That was a great way to learn baseball. And then to occasionally go to a major league game was kind of the, you know, cherry on top of the sundae. So we just talk to them and talk in a sense that they would understand it. And not try to jam too many statistics down their throat. Try to get the stories to them, because everyone loves stories more than they love statistics.
Well, and there are great stories and great personalities throughout the history of the game, and they're still there today. Do you buy into the theories that the game takes too long today, and that's why young people don't watch?
Very definitely. It's over 3.5 hours now a game. We were used to 2.5 hours, actually, and that's quite an extension of time. It's difficult to keep anyone's attention for 3.5 hours. And then the problem of these games that start at 8 o'clock in the evening and don't end at midnight, kids can't stay up that late, particularly at school nights. They can't even stay up and watch the World Series. And I don't know about you, but we got to listen to some of the World Series games on the radio in the afternoons, and much more, much better exposure to the game than what the kids have now, I think.
Oh, yeah, I remember, well, you mentioned that 67 World Series. I remember my teacher rolling a TV into the classroom so we could watch the first couple of innings of the Red Sox and the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, there's some of those games that stick with you. Oh, the 76 Red Sox, Reds game will always be there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of those games we try not to think of too much. Who's your favorite player of all time, Jim?
Oh, my favorite player? Well, I'll tell you. Of course, I grew up in the Mickey Mantle era, so he was an idol. I sometimes think the most underrated superstar was Stan Musial. But these days, a more modern era, we're a big George Brett fan, so I lived for a while in Kansas City, so I followed the Royals quite a bit.
I love those Royals teams of the 70s, too, and they were teams that were absolutely built for that ballpark and that era of baseball.
Yeah, they were. And that rivalry they had with the Yankees back then was really special. I mean, they absolutely did not like each other. And, it was, of course, Billy Martin was the manager of the Yankees, and that didn't always make for an agreeable situation.
Yeah, and I feel like do we have the same level of characters? I mean, not that we want a lot of guys like Billy Martin running around, but I'm not sure we have some of those larger-than-life personalities. And look no further than a guy like Mike Trout, who might be the best player in the game, but I'm not sure how many people could pick him out of a lineup if you just saw his face.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking to a fellow who actually, he's in management with Kansas City Royals, and he used to play for them. And he used to say, this is not either good or bad, but he used to talk about the fact that after the games, they used to go out and have a beer together. He says, these young players are so tied in and so focused on baseball that they don't go out, they don't do things together. They study film. They study statistics. They're very much into it. And, of course, they're making millions of dollars now, not thousands of dollars. So they got a lot more pressure on them, I think, to succeed. And maybe that cuts back a little bit on the fun of the game for them.
Well, if you want to relive the fun of the game, this is a terrific book, Baseball and America. It takes you through the history of the game, the history of America. It tells some of the great stories and is a wonderful introduction to the game for new fans and for us old-timers, a reminder of why we love it so much. Jim, thank you so much. The book was a delight to read. Really appreciate you coming on and talking about it with us.
I appreciate it, Rich, and good talking to you, and best wishes for the Red Sox this year, even though I think next year's might be a better season for them.
Yeah, well, it's got to be, no doubt about that. Thanks again, Jim.
Okay, take care.
That's Jim Halloran talking with us about baseball and America.